Tom in San Antonio, Texas, says, "Hey, Art, I'm disappointed in you're doing a show that seems to be advocating illegal drug use. Everyone that's used acid, LSD, X, or anyone supposedly mind-expanding drug made these same arguments and statements. Illegal drugs are illegal for a reason, Art. I'm not advocating their use. What I am doing is I'm being honest. And in being honest, I'm telling you that it's a legitimate area of inquiry into the kind of thing that we talk about on this program. So whether it's Rick Strassman or somebody else, and there will be somebody else, I can assure you, this is an area that we're going to explore. Drugs are a mind-altering substance. There's no question about it. They alter your thinking. They alter your perceptions, and they may do more than that. They may open doors. So in any discussion, legitimate discussion, the kinds of things that we talk about here, they have to at least be included. So we're certainly not advocating their use, but we're examining their effects. More open lines in a moment. Open lines, and anything is fair game. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good evening, Art.
Good evening, sir.
Tonight.
Okay.
Listen, Art, I know you're quite an avid fan of amateur, not amateur radio, but...
amateur radio. That's correct, ham radio.
Ham radio, I'm sorry.
I was wondering,
how do you feel about computers?
I love computers. I am surrounded by computers.
Do you have a specific one? I mean, that your personal computer?
Well, now that I'm here in the Philippines, I have moved personally more toward laptops, so I have quite a number of laptops.
Okay, because my big question was, what kind of chip do you favor, AMD or Intel?
Intel.
Oh, okay.
And I really like the VAIO. The Sony VAIO computer.
I've heard you mention that. It is an attractive thing, and I hope you have no problems with your battery.
Well, I hope not, too.
One more quick question.
Yes.
Last year, or earlier this year, you were talking with a woman that was out in the middle of the ocean. I believe you said she was like 71 years old.
Oh, that's right.
How was she doing?
That's Susan, and, you know, I heard that she left... Honolulu, and was on her way to one of the atolls here in the Pacific. Ultimately, her goal was to sail all the way across the Pacific by herself. Now, that takes some real guts to be of that age and to go across the Pacific. I had the opportunity while she was en route to Hawaii, which was scary enough. Believe me, the swells in the Pacific are scary things to encounter in a small craft. To talk to her as she was on her way, and who knows if she gets out to this part of the world, and ultimately I believe she is headed out this way, I may have that opportunity once again. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, this is Jason in Fayetteville.
Hello.
Yes, I wanted to talk about the stepping into other dimensions.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Well, I can consciously travel to other dimensions. It's not a gift. It's more of a trained skill.
Oh.
Yes. I used to be a witch and learned the their form of psychic training, developing the psychic mind. And I have, continually applied myself, and I can personally verify there are 11 dimensions, one time 10 spatial dimensions. That kind of correspond to what we think of in witchcraft as higher and lower planes. And
okay, that's quite a claim. If you could you describe the differences that you found in some of these other dimensions?
Well, they're extremely huge. If I were to describe my personal experiences in each of these dimensions, other people might describe them differently because they're not only, can you go up and down in the actual dimensions, but as you go planar across, they vary quite a bit as well. But essentially, I can, you know, the ones below the third dimension are essentially like the elemental, what I call Tartaros, and then what I call the abyss. And above, you know, the astral, the dreaming, the first and second heaven. The eighth is where the Holy Spirit is, you know, so on and so forth.
Okay, so you equate these then to the religious interpretation of other worlds, would be a way to put it, I guess.
Yes, I found striking similarity and parallels, not only between matrix superstring theory, but also in what I've learned as a witch and what I discovered in the Nag Hammadi. Mm-hmm. So I find they all fit together quite nicely.
And okay. All right. Well, listen, we'll hold it there. That's interesting, and that's something that I should have imagined that I would encounter, and who am I to say that it is not so? It may well be that these other dimensions, I mean, after all, we talk about ghosts and spirits and what we think of as aliens. Some refer to them as aliens. Other people who have the identical experience don't refer to them as aliens, but rather as religious icons of one sort or another. So when one has this kind of experience, it may well depend on their own perception, their own beliefs, their own their own biases, and certainly one strong one out there is a religious bias. So when somebody has another experience of this sort, if they are religious, then that's exactly what they may find. And in fact, that may be that could be the whole answer. It could be that you find what your expectation is, that there are other dimensions, but they are as you imagine them to be when you get there. If that all makes sense, I think it does. Let's go west of the Rockies and say hello there. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Corey. I'm calling from Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Yes.
I just wanted to, I guess, somebody, you're just with Dr. Strassman earlier, and just talking about drug-induced experiences. I had a pretty crazy, I would almost call it a near-death experience, maybe, with Salvia divinorum. I guess it's probably lesser known, but
It's so much lesser known. I've never heard of it. What is it?
Well, it's a plant. It's a sage. It's of the Salvia genus or of the Salvia family, and it's been used by shamans in Mexico for hundreds of years. And I mean, it's been used for those purposes. But it's supposedly the most potent psychotropic known to man. And anyways, like I'll cut to the chase. Like I had a friend that had done it several times and had some pretty crazy experiences, and I took one hit from a water pipe of it, and I don't even know how to explain. Like, it took me a while. Like, I don't know. The whole thing lasted probably, like, in this dimension, about 10 minutes, but in my head, it probably took several hours. But I took a hit, and I went to set the water pipe down, and I just felt an explosion, and it took me a minute to regain myself, and I don't know. I would explain it like, I mean, I was totally in another time and another place. I went through the whole, I don't know, like fractal repeating images of myself and stuff. And then I totally relived some crazy moments from my childhood. Like, I was actually part of, I don't know, it was kind of strange. Like, I was seeing my mom talking to myself as a child, and she was just talking about, I mean, just repeating the same line. Like, you kids don't know what you're playing with. And, like, I don't know, it was really weird.
Did it scare you?
Huh? It was very scary at first. Like, since then, I've kind of learned a lot from it and studied it, and I haven't really messed with that since then. But, yeah, it was very startling at the time.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that. That's the kind of thing that I'm interested in as well. And again, I know that these drugs that we're talking about, many of them anyway, I've never heard of that one, but a lot of them obviously are illegal, and for a very good reason. Nevertheless, it remains a legitimate area of inquiry for anybody doing a program of the type that we're doing, entirely legitimate, because there may be answers there. I understand that in Western culture, we have placed a big no-no on all of this, and there are legitimate reasons for that. In the West, we pride ourselves on having a very great deal of productivity. And it's widely thought and probably is certainly true that drugs detract from, tremendously detract from productivity. And we don't want that. We can't have that, can we? We are a society that prides itself in, well, again, that word, productivity, that means money. And when you're not productive, you're just sort of a burden on society. So you can easily understand why society passes laws against this kind of thing. I don't think there's any law against inquiry about it, though. Let us go to a wildcard line and say, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Art, it's Paul. Are you there?
Hello, Paul. Yes.
Yeah, hi. Well, Art, I had an experience on psilocybin mushrooms I'd like to share with you. Mm-hmm. I had a friend for 2 years, almost 3 years, who said he could show me other dimensions. Mm-hmm. And when he said that, I never really thought about what he was saying. But anyway, so we planned a day that we'd get together and do mushrooms. And it was my first time doing it. I show up to his house, and he said that, you know, I was late, and he had taken his mushrooms, so here, take my dose. And it was a what I thought would look like a big dose, but we had discussed that it had to be to see other dimensions, so I went ahead and took the dose. Or took it. It was around a plate full, a dinner plate full of mushrooms. Anyway, so I noticed right away that I was overdosed.
I would be immediately suspicious of a dinner plate full of anything.
What was I thinking?
Yeah.
This was my best friend, somebody that I would almost say that I was, now I look back at it and say I was under a spell.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really thinking. I can't believe it. But anyway, so I can't believe I'm telling you this story. But anyway, so once I noticed that I'm, you know, overdosed,
yes,
he started telling me that today's the day that I go to hell and that he's a messenger. And they decided up above that, you know, Paul needs to go to hell that day. Right? Uh-huh.
This is not your friend, Paul.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
And I really, really thought it was. Anyway, so I sit down on the couch, and, you know, your natural reaction is thinking that your friend is going to walk you through this. He invited you to his house,
mm-hmm,
to do mushrooms with him, so I kind of was still, even though he just told me something upsetting, I was still wanting to believe that he was helping me. So I laid down on the couch. And,
I see it now right away. I have a problem with that. The moment he said, today is your day to go to hell,
right,
you know, that has such a negative connotation to it, Paul, that I don't see how you could think he was helping you.
What could I do? Could I go outside the house and scream,
no,
I'm overdosed?
Mm.
You know, I should have picked up the phone and dialed 911.
Mm.
But I can't breathe. I'm struggling to breathe.
Mm.
My pulmonary, I'm so far out that I would forget to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And really, what could I do? And so he brings me into the living room. And by the way, each room was decorated different. The first room that I was in was all red lights. And anyway, so I'm going to get the story going here. So, you know, he's sitting down talking to me, and this vibration came through the room, like, whoa, 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 whoa. And it forced me down into the couch, kind of a feeling, like I was really falling deep into the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And I would rebel against it and try to stand up. But anyway, so I fought this, and he commented about how I was fighting that feeling. And he started talking to me, and his eyeball changed.
Uh-huh.
He had a little pierced earring on his eyebrow, and that dice started to spin. And when it changed, his eyeball changed and his skin changed, okay? And there he is, this guy looking like an alligator with this eye that was just bright yellow and the hole in it was just deep. Anyway, so I'm freaking out and I go to the door. And when I get to the door, I couldn't open up the door. And then he stands, and then next thing I know, he's standing right behind me, and it's him again. And he says to me, when you open that door, hell starts. So I opened the door, and by the way, he had told me that the police, God's angels, the white man, was coming to take me to hell. So I opened the door, and yeah, there were the police. He had called 911 on me, and yeah, they broke my skull, or supposedly cracked it and broke some ribs.
The police cracked your skull and broke ribs?
Yep. And Art, I don't know, you know, I would know I was walking, screaming into the sky, you know, God, help me. And I thought that maybe just by being out there that, you know, somebody would call the police. So, sorry, I'm gargling to keep my mouth wet. Anyway, so
So it was your friend who called the police, right?
Yeah, he called the police, and the 911 transcriptions say that he said that he had a homosexual friend from work who was breaking into his house. Yeah,
you know, hey Paul, I would disconnect yourself from this person and never again.
Of course, I've never. Well, you know, I saw him once after that to confront him on what he did to me.
Oh, but yeah, anyway, that'd be interesting. And what did he say?
I said, number one, I started off with, you're a snake. And
at the least.
Two, what?
At least,
right? Anyway, but Art, I want to tell you. So after this, I thought, you know, I was just tripping. It was something that I saw. And my friend invites me to go to Washington State with him, and I'm in the back of a big rig truck. And George had somebody on that I'd never really thought about coast to coast before. George had somebody on the radio that said that he saw somebody turn into a reptilian. And when he described it, he said it started by the eyebrow. And I'm sitting in the back of this big rig going up the 5 freeway, and it occurred to me, I didn't hallucinate. That doesn't happen. There are no pink elephants out there. He really did. You know, and Mark, my life has been so strange since that occurrence. I see.
Well, I'm sure it has. All right. Well, listen, thank you very much. That was interesting. I've often wondered about truck drivers out there. I think he said on the I-5, driving one of those big rigs. And do you have to wonder, hopefully he wasn't under any sort of influence like the one he described. And who needs friends like that? My God. They invite you in for a trip to another dimension, sit you down to a dinner plate, mind you, full of hallucinogenic mushrooms. You apparently munch down, clean off the dinner plate, and then he tells you you're going to hell and calls the cops on you and claims that it was some sort of homosexual encounter. I don't see how it gets any worse than that. Let's go to the first-time caller line. Maybe it does. You're on the air. Hello.
Hey, George, it's Jason in Kings Mountain.
I'm Art. George is on during the week.
Oh, I'm sorry, Art. I was calling because I wanted to find out your opinion on the Greys.
My opinion on the Greys. Well, all right. I don't really have an opinion on the Greys other than apparently they're real. Now, tomorrow night, you'll have an opportunity to tap into the mind of somebody who's just written what is getting rave reviews, I might add. And is called The Greys. That's Whitley Strieber. I think he was just recently on with George. But Whitley is a very, very good friend of mine. And I'm here to tell you right now that if anybody you or I know has had an experience, a real experience with The Greys, it's Whitley Strieber. He'll be here tomorrow night. So rather than taking my limited opinion on The Greys, hang in there for Whitley Strieber at least on the first hour tomorrow night, along with Open Lines, which we're doing this night. From Manila in the Philippines, I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Arabelle in Albuquerque, New Mexico, says, drugs that rip away the illusions of, in quotes, the Matrix, have to be illegal. Otherwise, we would see the reality of our surroundings as they truly are. That said, I wonder if reality, and I'll put that in quotes, is the same to all of us. By the way, you can send a fast blast to me by going to the coasttocoastam.com website and just typing it in. Steve in Las Vegas has done so and says, in high school, I smoked a joint laced with PCP. Before this, I was in a state of cognitive dissonance. This is to avoid the anxiety of reality. A bad trip can be when you must confront all the negative things you purposely push out of your head. On the on the wildcard line, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Art. This is Roger from San Diego.
Hello.
And I just wanted to tell you, I'm a long, long-time listener, first-time caller, and I've enjoyed your show for years and years.
Thank you.
I had an experience that happened to me. This was in about 77 or 78. I was driving from New York to California, and there were storms up ahead on I-40 up in the Gallup area along in Grants Pass. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to cut down at Amarillo and take the southern route. So that's all a two-lane highway, if you're familiar with that road.
I am indeed.
Yeah, 60 and Highway 70 down to Las Cruces. And so I'm out. I'm probably an hour or two out of Roswell, out in the middle of nowhere. And suddenly my partner and I see these two white lights appear up ahead. And they were close together, parallel, on a horizontal plane. And they stayed with us for about an hour. And at first I thought they were a train that was approaching. But they stayed ahead of us, and we were going west, and they didn't get any closer. Suddenly, as we were coming into a small town, they just took off to the south at a high rate of speed, and that was it. And I turned to my partner, and I said, "Did you see that?" And she said, "Yeah." I neither one of us could believe what we had seen. And when we got into town, it was dark. It was late at night. Obviously, nobody else had seen it. But it was the strangest thing that we'd ever witnessed.
Okay, I appreciate the story. I'll tell you, of course, I come from that country, specifically Nevada in my case, but you can see for very, very great distances. And I, too, have seen lights up ahead that seem to stay in a relatively fixed location. And I'm not talking now about a star. And I don't know that I'm talking about any sort of extraterrestrial vehicle either. But you can see them for very, very long periods of time. Now, the fact that they suddenly took off, that's something else again. And again, how do we separate the kind of experience he just described from being temporarily in some sort of other state or possibly even some other dimension? I don't know that we can. In a way, we're talking about reality tonight. What reality really is, and is it any single thing, or is reality absolutely an individual perception? I'm not sure. Are you? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah. Hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Bernard from Southeast Alaska. How you doing?
Quite well, sir.
Good. From one rainforest to the next. If you have ever had an opportunity to come up this way, I certainly invite you.
Well, thank you. I lived, of course, in Anchorage for 3 years.
Did you?
And yes. And I've been
okay.
To your part of the world. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just recently moved down here to Southeast from Anchorage. Last time I spoke to you, I was in Anchorage, and I just wanted to thank you for the mass consciousness for safe return of my dog. And my dog had disappeared, and I was very worried about my dog. It was gone for about 2 days in the freezing cold in the winter, and after talking with you, the dog returned to where I was temporarily staying at, and the dog was not familiar with that terrain, and just I don't know how it survived, but it did.
I have no idea, and I don't know where. How does mass consciousness play into that?
Oh well, I just asked to kind of be taken there to that, so that everyone was kind of on the same page, so to speak.
I'm not clear on what you're saying. Did you call the show and ask for people to concentrate on this?
Yeah.
I see.
Correct.
Okay, well, that might have worked. Who knows? Who knows? We don't know really a whole lot about mass consciousness. I'm not prepared to do any more experiments unless it gets down, I think I've said this before, to the point where obviously the world is one way or the other about to end. And then, of course, what would we have to lose? So we'd give it another shot. But I suppose if somebody just calls up and asks for help in some way, whether it be something as simple as a lost dog or whatever it might be, you know, if enough people suddenly concentrate even momentarily on something like that, who knows what mountain might be moved. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello,
yes, hello.
Art.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Laura, and I'm from Florida. How are you doing?
Fine.
Good. You had mentioned something about slip earlier. And I wanted to say that I went through a rebirthing seminar
mm-hmm.
with about 12 people. And we're laying on the floor, and we're told to breathe, pant, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I start feeling this coldness in my chest, thinking that, oh, my gosh, I'm going to pass out. And they're saying, no, you're not going to pass out. You know, you'll be just fine. And I'm like, okay. So going into this, and my chest is getting cold, and then I start to roll over to my side, and I curl up into a ball. Now, I'm totally aware of the room I'm in, the people around me, and I'm mm-hmm. totally aware of what my body is doing. And then I start to get this, I don't know, it was like I wanted to cry. So I started crying, and the crying that came out of me was a baby's cry.
Well, okay. You were in a rebirthing situation, right?
Right.
Okay, well, when hyperventilating like that, hon, is absolutely going to put you into some sort of altered state.
Oh, don't you know it.
Yeah, and I guess that's what they had in mind.
The experience I had was incredible because it relates to my daily life. I went back into a time of when I was an Indian squaw and I lost my child. You know, there was the.
So you're saying you went to another lifetime.
Mm-hmm. And I don't have children in this lifetime. And this feeling came over me that in each of my lifetimes, either I lost a child or I never had a child. I felt myself get under the cover, feeling this baby in my hands. And it's limp, and it died in this war that was going on with the Indians.
Did you have any, when this was all over, was there any positive effect on you?
Oh, most definitely. It affected me in a way that I felt so wonderful that I felt this baby in my arms.
Well, see, I would not have rated that as a positive experience. I mean, to have a baby die in your arms, most people wouldn't.
No. I mean, it helped me understand why I don't have any children in this lifetime.
That could be.
Because there was a deep, I don't know, loss somewhere in me from not being a mother.
Right.
Are you getting what I'm talking about?
I'm thoroughly getting what you're talking about.
Yes.
So you don't have any children now, and you have apparently no desire to have any.
Well, no, I couldn't have any. I had cancer, couldn't have any children.
I see.
So I felt that, and I felt in other lifetimes before that, I also lost my children or didn't have children or always felt that longing to have that child.
Yeah, that's absolutely fascinating. I a little bit earlier in the program, I think I said, I've always wondered about this, and that is to say, if we reincarnate, I've been told by many, many people that the whole object of reincarnation is to work toward perfection. Nobody's perfect, but you work toward perfection, and then eventually, after enough lifetimes, the story goes, you reach that that state and you, in essence, graduate. But I've never been able to discern what exactly it is that reincarnation does for a person if they have no conscious memory of what they were previously at all. Now, there are some states, some altered states that you can go into, and that's kind of what we're talking about tonight, that will apparently show you what you were in some previous life, and in that, of course, in some way will then help you in this lifetime. But it does seem odd to me, if it's a natural occurrence, that in order to find out about any previous life, we have to go into an altered state. It just seems odd to me. Let's go to the international line and say hello. You're on the air.
Hello, Art. Is this me?
Only you know that for sure, but it sounds a lot like
you. Then I guess it is. I just have a... My name's Kyle. I'm calling from Winnipeg.
Yes, sir.
I'm just calling to relate an experience that I had with you. I'm 26 now, and when I was about 20 years old or so, about 6 years ago, I was doing LSD quite often. Not every day type of thing, but once in a while for recreation. And I used to experience psychic intuition when I was under the influence of LSD.
You mean you could discern things that were going to happen?
Yeah. For example, on one experience, I was in a great big shopping center, a big urban shopping mall, and walking through the mall under the influence of LSD, I could tell what people were going to before they would act on it. I could tell.
You broke up a little there. You could tell what people were going to what?
I could tell what people were thinking and what people were going to do. I could just look at people and tell that they were going to, say, for example, stop and look at a certain article of clothing, or that a man and a woman that were walking along in the corridor were going to get into a fight or an argument or something of that nature.
Really?
Yeah, it was quite interesting. And there's been other times where I can't hear what people are saying to me. If, for example, I'm in a vehicle, I can't hear the driver talking to me, but I can hear everything that's going on outside the car.
Huh.
I could hear dogs barking, or I could hear horns honking from distances away, and but yet my friend would be talking to me, and I couldn't hear a word that he was saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, who am I to say that is not so? And that's why I think I said that certainly we're not advocating that anybody use any drugs. No way. They're illegal, and therefore you should not do it. However, in view of the subject material that we discuss on this program, certainly drugs have got to be considered one possible, underline the word possible, path to attaining some of the experiences. Again, we come back to the word reality, right? What is reality? I mean, that's worth a whole program all by itself, isn't it? I wonder if we all perceive things exactly the same way. I think the answer to that is a clear no, we don't. So that may be one path to things that otherwise cannot be explained. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
This is Olin in Culver City, California.
Yes, Olin.
Yes, on March the 2nd, 2005, a caller called and said there was a new cure for flu made out of orange oil, lemon oil, peppermint oil, and eucalyptus oil. You mix them together and you breathe the fumes through a painter's mask with the orange, lemon, peppermint, and eucalyptus oil on the mask over your mouth. You take in a deep breath in your mouth and breathe it in deeply and then let it out through your nose.
This was a caller to this show?
Yes. Well, it was to George Norrie, and he said that it was from 2 years previously. Apparently, Robert from Glendale, Wisconsin, had called you. And he said that this is a combination that bacteria and virus cannot survive on contact with, and that it's a offset for the effects of biological warfare. Mm-hmm. And just, I have some eyedropper bottles, and I mix together a half a cc of orange oil and a half a cc of lemon oil, half a cc of peppermint oil, and half a cc of eucalyptus oil.
And
I get these oils in a health food store in the aromatherapy display. They're made for breathing.
Okay, so what happened?
Well, it does cure flu and colds. The I've heard before that eucalyptus oil cures flu, but this additional combination with orange oil, lemon oil, peppermint oil with the eucalyptus oil, it certainly does speed up the cure of a cold more than vitamin C or echinacea. So it does have a beneficial effect, and there are some new strains of flu that are hard to get rid of.
Boy, let me tell you, there are some strains of flu out there that are turning into pneumonia. In fact, my producer has come down with one of those strains, and the flu itself is gone, but the pneumonia remains. I went through a very, very difficult time of exactly that recently, and it lasted for going on 3 months in one form or another. And so there's some pretty rough stuff out there. Now, who am I to say that these kind of alternative treatments do or do not work? All I know is that frequently you'll see a story on television, you know, on Fox News or CNN or something that will say, you know, recently we've learned that red wine is good for you, or that something that we previously thought was not good for you is suddenly good for you, or some old myth of a cure actually has some basis in reality. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Kim in Provo, Utah.
Hi, Kim.
Hi, I was calling about the dimensional slips.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'll try to make this quick because my battery on my cell phone, I don't know how long it's going to last.
Okay.
But back in 1987, I was in Los Angeles, and I was fairly new there, and I had some acquaintances that needed a ride, take their daughter to a hospital in the evening one night. So I took them. And I wasn't familiar with the downtown Los Angeles area, and I had started having some strange experiences, and so strange that it kind of made me freak out. I kind of said a prayer and felt that I really needed to leave, that too many strange things were happening.
Well, give me an example. What do you mean, strange experiences?
Well, it didn't seem like a hospital, first of all. There was a tower around it with a barbed wire fence.
Oh.
And a lot of steps you had to go up into it. There wasn't very many people. There was no nurses or doctors. There were no signs that said it was a hospital. I just didn't feel right about it. Plus, mm-hmm. some very anomalous things started happening. It just kind of, I'm sensitive anyways, so I started picking up some energies that I didn't feel that this was a very safe place to be. So I prayed about it, and I felt I really needed to leave. And I left. When I went out of the building, I was in a different place, and I could see Los Angeles. I could see it downtown. I had a good view, and when I saw that I wasn't in my normal place, the buildings didn't look right, the city didn't look right, nothing looked normal. It looked like a whole complete different city with raised walls around Los Angeles and this big raised freeway that was not normal. It just looked strange, and I thought I had died, and I started to cry. And
okay, we're almost out of time, and you're almost out of battery. So how did you get out of it?
Well, one of the acquaintances came running up, and he said, "Take my hand, and you'll be able to see your car." And I said, "I can't see the car." And I took his hand, and I took a step towards him, and then over his shoulder, I could see the car. And I had stepped in this oval-shaped walkway.
Okay, listen, we're absolutely out of time. I'm sorry, we've got to go. From Manila in the Philippines, this is Coast to Coast AM.